You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church and download our mobile app. We've got a digital Bible on there, an online community that you can be a part of, all of our teachings, so it's a great resource to carry along with you. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications. We don't want you to miss anything as we continue our studies through the Gospel of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 27 today, and we are going to be kicking off, we've kicked off yesterday. Pardon me, I'm going for some blood work today, and I have not had a cup of coffee, so I'm just going to say that at the outset, but I have prepped myself, and I am ready for you today. So hope you are doing well as well. Okay, so yesterday we kicked off Jesus' interaction with Pontius Pilate, according to the Gospel of Matthew. The other Gospels expand on it a little bit, particularly I believe it's Luke that shows him go to Pilate, then go to Herod, and then come back to Pilate. But we're obviously in Matthew, and we see that Pilate was amazed with Jesus. He was amazed with Jesus because of Jesus' boldness. Sometimes we mistake in aggression for boldness, and that's not really the case, okay? The reason why Pilate, this very powerful man, was amazed is because Jesus didn't fight, Jesus didn't beg, which I'm sure many people did before him, okay? Jesus maintained his composure and maintained his innocence all the way through, despite being faced with death. And this impressed Pilate a great deal. And Pilate was, a very, very powerful man. And everything that Jesus had been through, it's been an eventful couple days, right? Jesus gets arrested. He goes through an illegal trial. All of his disciples scatter. Peter denies him, even though he said he wouldn't, right? So we leave Peter weeping bitterly. That's the last we've seen of Peter crying. And of course, Judas, in complete remorse and regret, hangs himself. And now Jesus stands before this figure, this governor, Pilate, which we covered who he was yesterday, and faces death. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 27 this morning, again, starting with verse 15, and we're going to get through this, and we're going to study a little history, too, because a lot of people try to discount this whole part of Scripture and say this could have never happened, and I'm telling you right now, it absolutely could have, and it was probable based upon some historical record. So let's get to reading, and we'll jump right into that piece right away, okay? Matthew 27:15 says, "Now, as was the governor's custom at the festival, to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd, at that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas." Okay. So they have a prisoner named Barabbas. Okay. In Mark, we see that it says that Barabbas was imprisoned among the insurrectionists. So just remember that. Okay. This wasn't just a common criminal. This was somebody who was part of a revolution. And the climate at that time was that the Jewish people were getting sick and tired, especially of Pilate, and of just Rome in general, infringing upon their religious beliefs. And this was part of the tension that was growing that would ultimately lead to the rebellion and then ultimately lead to the fall of the temple in 70 AD, which we have studied at length. So what I was getting at before is a lot of skeptics say there's no way that this could be true because Rome would never extend that type of courtesy to the people. Well, never is a strong word, and I'm going to show you here that it's not necessarily the case, Okay, we're dealing specifically with Pilot. And even though we talked yesterday about Pilot having a demeanor that was very savage, very brutal, it was written in history books that he was not a nice guy, to put it in layman's terms here, okay? So would Pilot ever even have a custom like this? I would venture to say yes, it's very probable. And the reason why I say this is because he exhibited behavior that is historically recorded when it came to the Jewish people that was unbecoming of a governor. Okay? I want to give you a story here that's a brief detour. Okay? But I want to look at two separate writings from the historian Flavius Josephus. Now, neither of these will prove that Barabbas – that this Barabbas incident even happened. But I believe that these passages from these famous historical works, one, the Jewish War, and two, the Antiquity of the Jews, both by Josephus, prove that Pontius Pilate made some very interesting concessions in favor of the Jewish people that, again, were uncharacteristic of the iron-fisted Roman rule. So in approximately 27 AD, Pilate brings his troops to Jerusalem for the winter. And he also brought images of Caesar into the holy city, right? They would carry these effigies of Caesar along, which that was in direct violation of Jewish law, which strictly prohibited glorifying anybody but Yahweh, okay? And the Jews protested. And I want you to see what happened here. Now you say, well, what does this have to do with it? I just, because somebody, there's a skeptic out there. Somebody on a university right now is saying this could never happen, like Bart Ehrman out there, okay? And I'm telling you, it is highly probable when you look at the behavior of Pontius Pilate. All right, I've said that already. It says, this is from Josephus, Jewish War 2:9. Pilate also said to them that they should be cut in pieces unless they would admit Caesar's images, and gave information to the soldiers to draw their naked swords. Hereupon the Jews, as it were at one signal, fell in vast numbers together and exposed their necks and cried out that was sooner ready to be slain than that their law should be transgressed. Hereupon Pilate was greatly surprised at their prodigious superstition and gave order that the ensigns, meaning the images of Caesar, should be presently carried out of Jerusalem. And this is from the Antiquities of the Jews. So I just want to envision this. I'll read this, but I want you to envision this, because ultimately this is how the story goes. Pilate says, oh, you don't want images of Caesar? All right, let's have a meeting in the square, right? The Jewish people come out, and then all the soldiers descend on them. I should have really painted this before, but now you'll get it, and then I'll read this other part, right? So they come to have a meeting thinking that they're going to have a meeting with Pilate, and what happens is all of the soldiers ascend with their swords. So do the Jewish people back down? No, they don't. This is what they do. And now I'm going to read the same account from the Antiquities of the Jews. It says, but they threw themselves upon the ground and they laid their necks bare and said they would take their death very willingly rather than the wisdom of their laws should be transgressed, upon which Pilate was deeply affected with their firm resolution to keep their laws inviolable, and presently commanded the images to be carried back from Jerusalem to Caesarea. So does this prove that the Barabbas story happened? Absolutely not. But to say it could never happen is in absolute contrast to what we see Pilate do in similar circumstances. Was Pilate vicious? Absolutely. But he made concessions. So we read this next part, and thank you for going through that exercise with me, because I want to just dispel some of the criticisms that you'll get as we read the rest of this, saying Pilate could never do this. Well, Pilate did this, okay? Pilate cared enough to not want – Jesus was worth something to Pilate, maybe worth his own skin, right? Because if Pilate didn't want to have an uprising, he didn't want to kill this man, which you'll see even Pilate's wife didn't want that. Let's just read. Let's just read here. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who they you call the Messiah?" For he knew out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. Pilate knows that this is funky, what's going on here, and he doesn't want any part of it. Now, the name Barabbas is pretty interesting as well, okay? Depending upon who you talk to, different scholars break this down because it can mean two different things, and I think both names have significance, right? Barabbas, anytime you see bar, that means son of. Abbas, Abba. So Barabbas could mean and is mostly understood as Bar Abba or son of the father. So that's how it could be interpreted, son of the father. And that's symbolic of the contrast between Barabbas, an earthly criminal, and Jesus, the divine son of God. But it's also, in some circles, pointed to as Bar Rabban or son of the rabbi. And some scholars suggest that Barabbas could have also translated as that, and in being a son of the teacher in that interpretation could indicate that Barabbas was the son of a Jewish teacher. Okay, that's maybe a less circulated translation, but I find that pretty compelling as well. Because let's go back to the fact that Barabbas was an insurrectionist and what we know about what happened was happening during that time, that the Jewish leadership was at odds with the Roman leadership. And ultimately, they have this insurrectionist in prison and Pilate brings him out. So what do we have here? We have the Jewish people now choosing between the Son of God and the Son of the Law. Do you follow this? So even in this, there is a type and shadow, right? Of a type and shadow of either a false Jesus versus the real Jesus, okay? Or, which is very much could be considered the same thing, the law versus the fulfilled truth of God, right? So we have the crowd choosing between the two. And that's what this has been all about. This is what the gospel has been all about. It's been about you can choose the law. You can choose death. You can choose the wages of your sin being held against you, or you can choose the ultimate forgiveness of God, the ultimate glory and grace of God. I hope that makes sense to you. Let's continue reading. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. "Don't do anything to that innocent man." Should listen to your wife, Pilate. "For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." So she has a dream about this. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. Wow. This must have been wild to be there in this crowd at this time. If you watch The Passion of the Christ, it's really, I watched that movie before I really gave my life completely over to God, and it shook me to the core. I remember being looking around at the end of the movie because I saw it in the theaters, and nobody else was there. It's just me sitting there. And I remember just welling up in tears as I see, the crowd, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," wild stuff. All right, so it says, "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "What crime has he committed?" Look at Pilate. Pilate cross-examining the crowd here. "What crime has he committed?" But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting. Because remember, Pilate was under extreme scrutiny because he had a hard time controlling the crowds. So it was likely, and Pilate was not in his position much longer. I think he left his position, you know, according to historical records, somewhere around 36. So just about 3 years later, Pilate's not even there. But he definitely doesn't want to be at the end of Caesar's sword because you didn't just get fired back then usually. Usually bad stuff happened to you. But when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, verse 24, but that instead it was an uproar was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this blood, he said. It is your responsibility. Now, check this out. All the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. Think about this declaration for a second. Think about our studies back in Matthew 24. Think about what would happen in that generation, how Jesus even said in Matthew 23 that all the blood of the prophets and the apostles that I send you, the people that I send, all the blood of the messengers is going to be on your head, on this generation. Well, they come into agreement here when they say, his blood is on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Jesus' earthly fate is sealed physically. It was sealed in the hearts of the crowd before this. It was sealed in the hearts of the religious leaders as they planned to have this happen. And here we have our Lord and Savior now condemned, about to be embarrassed, and we'll go through some of the things he endured tomorrow. But isn't this fascinating? This happened. And it's a bump in the road on the way to the crucifixion, in a sense. But what is the story of Barabbas and this whole interaction with Pilate represent? Barabbas and Jesus, they both represent two very different paths for Israel. And if we're not careful, we can fall into a similar trap today. The Apostle Paul talks about choosing between the temporary and choosing between the eternal. And we often choose the temporary physical victories, but what do? They lead to disappointment, they lead to loss, they lead to us never achieving what we want, because nothing lasts forever. There's everything, to everything there is a season. And God wants us in a place of eternal victory, which can only be found through Christ. So, people search who is Barabbas, but the question is, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Lamb that was slain for the forgiveness of sins, the one whom upon anyone who calls on his name will be saved. And my prayer for us today is that we stop seeking the temporary fixes in our life and we just start trusting Jesus. That when we have the choice in front of us, whether to give up the road of faith in contrast to embracing the, what am I trying to say here? I'm not being clear, and I want to be clear with you. Every day we have a choice to choose the earthly things or choose the heavenly things. Can't think about it being more simple than that. The earthly things go away. The heavenly things are forever. So my prayer for you is to choose Jesus today. Choose Jesus. Just say that. Say, Jesus, I choose you today. I choose you over the temporary things because I want what's eternal. I want what you have for me, God, in this life and the next. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church, Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. You're listening to the 1% Christian, right? The daily Bible study where we get together for a couple minutes and we go out and do something amazing for Christ's sake. Get out there, bless somebody today, and choose Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. Have an awesome, awesome day.